Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
I'm Dan Nalen, and this is Slug Soundwaves, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, UT. Slug is an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, and it is one of the oldest independent publications in the entire United States, distributing free monthly issues about music, art, action, sports, and subculture. In this episode, we hear from the nice folks behind Oasis Games, we hear from tunes from Rotten Musicians and Mark Dago, and we talk to the folks from Dr. Volts. Oasis Games is a relatively new gaming shop in Salt Lake City that opened back in May 2011 with the goal of growing the gaming community, specifically for the Wizards of the Coast trading card game Magic: The Gathering. The shop runs tournaments for both casual and serious fans, and people qualify for rounds for national competitions right down there. The shop has also become home to one of the biggest inventories of Magic cards in the entire state, holding 99% of all single cards available. Slug writer Henry Glasheen chatted with owner Alex Sittner about the shop and their tournaments.
So, what was your first gaming experience?
I learned to play Magic with my brother. I was probably about six. So, yeah, I've been doing it pretty much forever. I mean, basically, we started when the game started 20 years ago. So, just always, never really stopped.
So, what was it about card and board games that first piqued your interest?
Just the competitive aspect, doing something that you're really good at, and being able to hang out with people that kind of are interested in the same things that you're interested in. It kind of creates a community around itself.
As some of the listeners may not know, Oasis Games deals primarily in Magic: The Gathering, which is a trading card game that's been going strong for about 20, 21 years. And it sounds like you've been playing since the beginning.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's cool. So tell me a little bit about your progression from starting off playing when you were 6 years old to where you are now, where you play in Grand Prix and in larger tournaments that occur nationally.
I started playing in tournaments probably when I was 9 or 10 or so. So been around the tournament scene for a long time. I didn't qualify for the Pro Tour until I was 17. First one was 2003 in Honolulu, I think it was. So that was pretty sweet to be able to. it was right after they started giving out plane tickets and paying for people to actually go to them too. They didn't used to do that. So kind of had my lucky break right when it was the right time to do it. Been in and around the Pro Tour since about 2003.
So what are some of the challenges that come with playing professionally?
You really have to learn to cope with the variance. I mean, you can't do well at every tournament. In order to place well, or I mean, place really well, or win a big tournament, there's a lot that has to go your way. And so, being able to deal with the ups and downs. I mean, it's a lot like playing poker professionally. You're not going to get there every time, but when you do, that makes it all worth it. And being able to hang out with people that you like and people that are the same kind of people as you. I mean, there aren't very many of us. We have to stick together. But that's what makes going to these big tournaments worth it.
That's cool. So you said that you you qualified for the Pro Tour starting in about 2003. How did you get to the professional level? Like, what was your process for going from casual to competitive?
Just playing a lot. during high school, I used to play Magic online just constantly. I think that's what really pushed me to be able to get there. I mean, I was playing in Pro Tour qualifiers basically ever since I was, you know, 11 or 12, but didn't really have any consistent success until I started playing just a lot.
That's cool.
That's the only way to do it. Just put in the hours, you know?
Exactly.
Learn the mechanics, learn the interactions.
So Magic has recently emerged as a highly visible and popular game that draws geeks and non-geeks alike.
Mm-hmm.
It's really started to enter the visible scene.
The mainstream. It's really gone mainstream at this point. I mean, the player base has increased by 30%. Every year for the last 10 years now.
What do you think draws new players to the game?
I mean, it's mainly word of mouth. I mean, just somebody saying to their friend, yeah, you want to learn this sweet game, and teaching them, and then they never stop. So, yeah, that's really the only way to draw new people to playing your game. There's nothing that you can really say to people to get them to try it out. It's more having friends that play.
Exactly. And it kind of grows organically from mm-hmm. just friends telling friends and getting their friends hooked on it and that sort of thing.
Exactly.
So what do you think is the cultural significance of the game? Like, what do you think is, like, significant about Magic versus, like, Yu-Gi-Oh! Or Pokemon? What do you think sets it apart?
Well, compared to the other, it has a much longer pedigree, and the design teams have a lot more experience making the game. It's just a lot more strategic game than any of the other trading card games out there. I mean, Yu-Gi-Oh! And Pokemon, basically all of the other trading cards games out there are more of a gateway drug, I guess, to get kids to play Magic. So Magic is pretty much where people end up if they want to keep playing collectible card games. It kind of draws people in.
With your store's podcast, Constructed Criticism, and online features like Decks to Beat, mm-hmm. Oasis puts an emphasis on introducing newer players to competitive play. We've been talking a little bit about this transition of casual to competitive. What do you think is important about encouraging competitive play for newer players?
We don't encourage competitive play for everybody, but for people who want to take the next step, Oasis is really the only place that you can go to do that. Every other store in the Valley is more focused on casual players, and it draws casual players in. That's where they play. I mean, Oasis offers every card in Magic and basically anything that you could want as Magic goes, whereas none of the other stores have a comparative inventory in singles or anything like that. I mean, competitive play isn't for everyone. There is a specific subset of players that really enjoy competitive play. Pretty much everyone starts from kitchen table Magic. If you're not getting enough of challenge there, if you're beating all your friends, you know, without without any kind of a fight, or for the people that really want a challenge and really want to learn more about the game and make it more of a strategic exercise, I guess, competitive play is really the only way to go. But it's really easy to find people who are interested in that.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So Oasis has a competitive team that goes out and plays at larger tournaments. Mm-hmm. And you guys recently attended a Grand Prix in Richmond, which was actually the most well-attended constructed Magic tournament in history. So, firstly, how did your team do? Like, how did you guys do?
Well, out of over 4,000 people at the Grand Prix, we had one member of the team finish in the top eight, or in the top four, actually, won several thousand dollars. I finished in the top 16. We both qualified for the next Pro Tour and are getting free flights out to the next Pro Tour that's giving away $250,000 in prizes. Overall, we did really well. We had two other people finish in day two. The team really distinguished itself. Yeah.
Awesome. So you kind of touched on this a little bit. Well, what makes a Grand Prix so important for a competitive player? Like, what does it signify?
Well, Grand Prix are the largest open events that people can attend. They're the most competitive events that you don't actually have to qualify for. And like I say, they draw thousands of people. Everyone who's looking to buy or sell the very rarest and best cards, I guess, from, you know, all of the 20 years of Magic, will go to a Grand Prix. So you can find all these cards that you just can't find anywhere else. You can find people looking to buy and sell their collections. It's and meet new people from all around the world that you just never would have the chance to do otherwise. So yeah, Grand Prix are great.
So what do you think is the most important aspect of owning and operating a store like Oasis Games? Like, what do you think you offer the community?
I mean, if you're looking for anything Magic related, Oasis probably has it. I mean, I'm just looking to offer a place where you can go to find either competition or talk about Magic, play Magic, play test your new ideas, basically just trying to create a Magic Mecca for Salt Lake.
So just kind of a personal question, like, tell me a little bit about your personal collection. Like, what are some of your favorite cards that you own, and what are some of the rarest cards you own?
Honestly, I don't have much of a personal collection. most of what I own is at the store and in inventory. But I do collect German cards, like the very first German cards that started being printed. That's basically what my personal collection consists of. So
that's really cool. That's, and that I would never have expected that.
Yeah, no, it's not very common.
I know you've got a really solid idea of where Oasis is positioned in the Valley right now, but what are your future plans for Oasis? Like, where do you plan to take it from here?
Later this year, we're planning to start vending it at Grand Prix. We'll be setting up a booth probably later this year starting in the fall. After that, I doubt we would open another store in the area, but possibly somewhere else would be an option. We've looked at several places, so that's probably the next step. But yeah, I'm really happy with where we're positioned in the Valley.
Oasis Games is located at 145 East 200 South in downtown Salt Lake City. For more info on the shop, visit them online at oasisgamesslc.com. Grunt Musicians is a three-piece nerd rap group from right here in Salt Lake City. They originally formed, oh my god, a whole decade ago, back in 2004, and it's comprised of Mark Dago, Daniel Fisher, and DJ Shanti. Since 2005, the group has released two full-length albums, an EP, and several singles, most recently one titled I Miss Bob Ross, dedicated to that oh-so-awesome PBS painter. The group released their third full-length album in December 2013. This is a song called Plus 20 Broadsword off of their 2008 album, Say You Love Her.
I rolled a 20, double damage.
I rolled a 19, Mark. I fudged it.
You can do that?
I'm the dungeon master. I control worlds, universes.
Our story starts in a dark dungeon, let us out. Like gouges, wave a wand, chains will break off and we'll carry on. Wow, that works, so let's work our way to Castle Grey. We had a few laughs on the way to save the princess of King Hathaway. Snuck by the castle gate and I had to help an orc on guard pass away. We dash down a trapdoor, if you're getting bored then it's time for some swordplay. Slash slash clang slash clang goes the blade, I even finished my lemonade. How shall I end the tale, how about Princess Anne wearing nothing but chainmail? Bring your worst out,
dragon, giant, orc or troll.
Plus 20 baby, that's the way we roll. With the top down,
sipping on a ginger pop.
Plus 20 girl, that's the way we rock. Collect the whole set,
really get into your soul.
Plus 20 baby, that's the way we roll. We can get down,
top a tower, make out spot.
Plus 20 girl, that's the way we rock.
Let me take you back to a monster to a maze, a zombie to a dead man. Party buffet, not a basic set game. Forget names and handles, monster manuals, orcs and damsels. Is that plus 2 mics and too much to handle? 20 sided die, 10 to 16 moves. What up, you campaign like some big league chew. First edition feel, essential rules. Hack and slash with the follow through. No telling what you'll turn into. Slay a dragon with a pen and paper. Now yeah, you can too. Power up, hit point, memories and magic. A subculture that's so dynamic. Dark wizards, trolls who caverns, fill in the blanks with what you imagine.
Bring your worst out,
dragon, giant, orc or troll.
Plus 20 baby, that's the way we roll. With the top down,
sipping on a ginger pop.
Plus 20 girl, that's the way we rock. Collect the whole set,
really get into your soul.
Plus 20 baby, that's the way we roll. We can get down,
top a tower, make out spot.
You can do that?
It's all in the dice.
You've been wandering aimlessly in the crystal corridors of Morgrothen. A failed torch spell has left the map in ashes and the darkness looming. But your adventure doesn't end here as you approach three indistinguishable doors.
Cast divination.
You can't do that here.
Man, then I just kick the door down.
Yeah, kick it down. Punch it.
You must choose one.
The middle.
You fools! Suddenly the door slams itself shut behind you as a hungry unknown dragon-like siren emerges from the shadows. Her beautiful song is so soothing, you fail to see her worm-like tentacles ensnare your puny guild and rip you to shreds.
bring your worst out.
Dragon, giant, orc, or troll.
Plus 20, baby, that's the way we roll. With the top down,
sipping on a ginger pop.
Plus 20, girl, that's the way we rock. Collect the whole set,
really get into your soul.
Plus 20, baby, that's the way we roll. We can get down,
top a tower, make out spot.
Plus 20, girl, that's the way we rock.
What the hell is your problem?
What's yours?
I don't know what you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, right! Don't get mad at me because your girlfriend didn't have a good time. For God's sakes, this is advanced, Mark.
Advanced?
Shut up.
To download all of Rotten Musicians' albums, check them out at rottenmusicians.bandcamp.com. And for more info on the group, check them out at facebook.com/rottenmusicians. And The Band Played On is Plan B Theater's celebration of the First Amendment, returning to the Rose Wagner on May 3rd. Featuring Carrie, Bill, and Gina from X96, Salt Lake County Mayor Ben McAdams, Salt Lake City Mayor Ralph Becker, Salt Lake City Councilman Stan Penfold, actor Ann Decker, Utah State Senator Jim DeBacchus, and Utah State Representatives Joel Briscoe, Rebecca Chavez-Hauck, Jennifer Seelig, and Carol Speckman-Moss reading from banned children's books. Tickets and info at planbtheater.org. This is your weekly daily calendar for the week starting on, oh God, it's tax day, April 15th and running through April 21st. As always, I'd suggest you go to slugmag.com, check out the bottom of the homepage. There's always great new stuff going into that calendar. When I look at this week, I start right there on Tuesday, April 15th with Katie Herzig, fine singer-songwriter. She's headlining a show at the Urban Lounge. She's been through town several times, always puts on a really good show. On Wednesday, April 16th, we have a lot of great shows going on. Off and Cerebral Ballsy are playing together at the Loading Dock. Off, of course, the project of Keith Morris, former Circle Jerk and Black Flag lead singer. That should be a great show. Crosstown and In the Venue, Fantagram is headlining along with Teen. And then St. Paul and the Broken Bones bringing sort of a roots rock vibe to Kilby Court that night. That's three big, fat, awesome shows on Wednesday, April 16th. On Thursday, April 17th, a gigantic hip-hop show. Cunning Linguist, J-Live, Sadistic, Nemo Arcaida, all together at the Urban Lounge. That should be a lot of fun. If you're more into the roots rock thing, as I am many evenings, Shovels and Rope and Parker Millsap are playing together at the State Room that night, Thursday, April 17th. Friday, April 18th, it's Slug Localized with Vincent Draper and the Dirty 30, Charles Ellsworth, and Crook and the Bluff, all playing together at the Urban Lounge. Once again, that's Friday, April 18th, always a mere $5. Saturday, April 19th, more of that good rootsy singer-songwriter stuff with J.D. McPherson playing at the State Room. And then Sunday, April 20th, it's Easter, damn it, and that means it's time for the annual Bunny Hop Brunch at the Garage. Always a great time, lots of good music, lots of fun people. God willing, it'll be a beautiful day outside. That's your weekly daily calendar for the week of April 15th. As always, go to slugmag.com, check out that calendar for yourself, find yourself some great events to go to all up and down the Wasatch Front. You can also add your own events for free, and for a mere $5 a month or $50 a year, add some quality links to your content. Early we heard from the Rotten Musicians, and now we're going to hear from one of the individual members of that group. That would be hip-hop MC Mark Dago. Been around a long time on the scene. When he's not a member of the group, he's putting out his own material, starting back in October 2010 with his debut full-length album called Self High Five. Since then, he's released a second album called Killscreen. That was about 2-3 years ago, and a single called Nightfall in August of 2012. Most recently, he re-released a demo he made back when he was a teenager called Style It Out. It's an online-only release. We're going to play a song called Magic Kingdom. This is off of the 2011 album Killscreen.
It came to life, animated, reimagined, through an experience of the time half abandoned, a vision of a land examined, enthusiasm back, capture a tone, word of mouth, and it happened. Living the chronic adventure time of a century, in the heart of dreams, enchantment of the memory, systematic by nature, rock steady my pedigree, brick for brick, a foundation, a legacy, in and of itself, universal allegiance, the only dream ever shared was a nightmare repeated. Thoughts I get lost in shape, shift when you see it. More effective than it sounds, wanting more when you feel it. Who's who of alignment, influenced by excitement. Not the guide, but the guided passion speaks to enlighten. Long before the hype, lose sight and stay silent. In a way, true to myself, truly a triumph, you know. Still battle for the aligned, you know.
still fight and keep it defiant. Got this force like gravity down to a science.
Can't have nowhere.
Horrific the cause, showmanship, knowing it, couldn't live with it all. Owned by algorithm, taking what was given, not above suspicion, united with the vision. Fight to survive, incident of the fittest. All said and done, won't recognize the glitches. Hold the torch high, drawn warfare on the replica. Sentient agenda, burn like a nebula. Waste no time, the plan of the millennia. Right into play, with the tech we depending on. A daisy chain that starts with stop and go arson. Play with fire, no escaping the watchman. Against your will, assimilated or marked man. Death blow to mankind, apocalyptic the doctrine. You know, it's just a notion of nature, you know. It's all the rage, nomenclature. A phenom so mega, make you reach for your laser.
Can't get out nowhere.
Download all of Dago's works, visit him at markdago.bandcamp.com. And for more info on him himself, check him out at facebook.com/markdagoraps. Dr. Volz is a long-running comic book shop in Salt Lake City. I'm sure you've heard the name. It seems like they've been around forever. They originally got its start back when it was opened by a local pro wrestler who used his in-ring persona as the name for the shop. In 2001, current owner Dave Landa opened the place, and he has since expanded business to make Dr. Volz one of the most visited shops in the entire state. Aside from comics, they sell toys and collectibles, as well as trading card games, and the shop holds weekly tournaments for gameplay. Slug writer Rebecca Frost chatted with Landa about the shop and comic books in general.
I recently learned this, contrary to popular belief, you are not Dr. Volz.
No, I'm not the original Dr. Volz.
You're the successor to Dr. Volz.
I'm actually Dr. Volz the Third.
Dr. Volz the Third. Tell me the history of Dr. Volz.
Okay, Dr. Volz was founded in 1990 by a man named Kelly, and he was a amateur wrestler, I think. And he was Dr. Volz, so that's where the name came from. And then after he, about a year or so into it, he turned it over to John Bray. And he did it for about 10 years, give or take. And then I took it over from him, and I've been doing it for 13 years now.
What made you want to own your own shop, and why Dr. Volz?
Well, I used to be a customer, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go, I'd shop there all the time. I enjoyed it. Gradually, you start going there more and more. You start working there. And I come to a point in my life, I was going, you know what? I'm sick of college. I don't really like being a real estate agent. So I thought, comic book store, I can do that.
That's awesome. So what is the state of comic books now compared to when the store opened 24 years ago?
That's hard. I would say it's lower now than it used to be because that was the 90s and that was the boom time for comics. Everything had 15 covers and they were foiled and platinum. But we're doing pretty well now.
So how has Dr. Volz evolved since you've taken over?
Well, since I've taken over, I've expanded the store. We're a little over twice as big as we used to be. We now carry a wide range of products. I mean, we always did a little bit of gaming, but now it's comics, gaming, toys, statues, and the graphic novels are just huge.
So is gaming more of something that came about because of your influence?
Not really. It's always been there a little bit. It's mostly because we're right across the street from a junior high school. So they come in all the time. They go, can I get this? Can I get that? You just kind of stalk it.
What impact has Dr. Volz and comic books in general had on the local community?
I think it's been pretty positive. I've done some work with some of the local schools and the libraries, and just it helps for reading and just to entertainment. I usually use the comics as primers for kids who don't really like to read. They like to, you know, be on computers all day, and it's a little easier than a book to get into.
You donate books and comic books to schools, right?
Yes, we do.
That's awesome. What sets Dr. Volz apart from other comic book stores?
I would say our wonderful customer service. Everybody who comes in is family. of some sort or another. We just try to reach out, help people, and we try to carry at least a little bit of everything people want.
How are digital titles affecting the business of owning a comic book shop these days?
Well, originally, you know, people were going to say the sky is falling when the digital title started coming out. I would say it's actually been positive because it gets more people into the books. You know, they'll read some stuff online and they'll go, you know what, this is pretty good. I'll check out this stuff in store. And so I have a bunch of customers who do both. They get a bunch of digital titles and they get come into the store for the physical copies. It's really nice.
Isn't there a program that you do where you can buy your digital titles online but it still supports Dr. Volts?
Yes, through the Comixology app on our website. If you go through that link, you can buy all the digital titles and we get a percentage of the sale.
Oh, and you don't have to buy the physical copy to get the digital code?
No, you can get the digital code right from the website.
Okay, awesome. What do you have planned for Free Comic Book Day, the first weekend in May?
Well, Free Comic Book Day, which will be May 3rd this year, we'll have, of course, the movie tie-in. So we usually have a sale. We have some good deals, as you don't know, you know.
Yeah.
And we start up at 9 in the morning and go till 6 in the afternoon. And we're usually out of comics by... the free comics, anyway, by about mid-afternoon.
How have you seen Free Comic Book Day grow since the 13 years that you've been
in charge? Oh, it's been insane. I mean, the first year, there was maybe 5 to 10 comics. People really didn't know about it. People, you know, they'd come in, they'd go, oh, is this free? Thank you. Then they leave. Now it's kind of like our Black Friday.
Because in my experience, every time I show up, the line is around the building.
Yes. Typically, the line is about a block long to get in. I don't typically do signings or appearances at those because it's just too insane,
mm-hmm.
and we don't really have the space.
Mm-hmm.
But we have some people in cosplay. We'll have some Mercs this year and some people from Heroic, so it'll be a lot of fun.
Are you planning anything else like for the crowd while they're there to keep the crowd going, like it's a big party?
We might have some specials. We're still working on that. So.
Gotcha. How do you see the future of comic books? Like where? Because obviously now we are in a time where comic books influence movies and more prevalent in pop culture. How do you see that evolving?
I see it growing because you see a lot of new comics and new properties going through the independent publishers that are just really good stories because, you know, everybody hopes they'll be picked up for a movie or TV show.
Mm-hmm.
So they got to put real effort into it and make it really interesting and good.
So how do you see the future of Dr. Volts?
I see us growing. I see us thriving in the future, at least I hope so. I think we'll be okay. I think we'll be here another 20 years.
And this might be like a weird question. What do you say to people who walk into your store and are kind of nervous because they are comic book novices and they don't know anything? But what would you say to people who maybe are new to Dr. Volts and don't necessarily know and feel uncomfortable asking for help with comics?
I would say, well, we do have a couple displays set out if you're interested in like current movies or, you know, kids' titles, all ages. But just come in, talk to us. You know, if you're looking for something horror, adventure, like a movie tie-in, just ask. We're always happy to help.
Dr. Volts is located at 2043 East, 3300 South in Salt Lake City. Be sure to check them out on Free Comic Book Day happening on May 3rd. For more information on the shop, visit them online at drvolts.com. Thank you for listening to Slug Soundwaves, and for all things Slug Magazine, visit us online at slugmag.com. As we mentioned earlier, it's Free Comic Book Day coming up on the first Saturday in May. We'd like to hear what book you're most looking forward to picking up or any events you plan on attending. Send us an email to soundwaves@slugmag.com or hit us up on Twitter @slugsoundwaves or via Facebook at facebook.com/slugsoundwaves. We just might play your suggestions on the show. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and produced by Gavin Sheehan. The associate producers are Esther Moronio, Alexander Ortega, and myself, Dan Nalen. The executive producer is one Angela H. Brown. The theme was performed by Lindsay Heath and Mike Sasich. Main logo and art design by T. Doan, and the technical design is by Kate Cole. Be sure to fire us up again next week. We'll be talking to the folks from the Consider Our Knowledge podcast, as well as the ladies from the Hello Sweetie podcast. Thanks for listening.